Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 43 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
Well, we were established in 2018 here in Grayson, Kentucky.
A new business has opened its doors in Moorhead.
Activists held a rally outside the Round County Courthouse.
Kindergarten registration is now open.
The Kentucky Department of Education held a meeting with the Student Advisory Council.
The University of Kentucky is not planning on requiring COVID-19 vaccinations for students in the fall.
In sports, Moorhead State Beach Volleyball is back in action.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report.
30% chance of showers tonight with a low around 30 degrees. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
A new business has opened its doors in Moorhead. A ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Eastern Kentucky Hemp Company was held at its location in Pinecrest Plaza on Tuesday. The company sells a wide array of CBD products that help many individuals with issues such as anxiety and chronic pain. Mark Denny is a co-owner and franchisee of the Moorhead location. He says it's one of multiple expansions planned by the business in the near future.
Well, we were established in 2018 here in Grayson, Kentucky. Will Sutterfield and Riker Rice and C.J. Bramble and Noah were the ones who founded it. We have a store in Grayson, one in Huntington, another one in Olive Hill. Starting this one in Moorhead, and a couple more are going to be opening up by the end of the year.
Eastern Kentucky Hemp Company will be open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. More information can be found on their Facebook page.
Activists held a rally outside the county courthouse on Tuesday. The group called Justice for North Fork is comprised of residents in the North Fork Mobile Home Park. The group is protesting the mass eviction and treatment of residents in that neighborhood as a result of the property being sold to a commercial developer. Residents were notified on March 5th they would need to move out of the park by April 30th. That's according to Eric Bailey, who's lived in the park for 11 years.
Kind of got blindsided by everything. We called because everyone heard the rumors. We saw people up there working, but everyone we called said, no, don't worry about it. You guys are good. So we was thinking, well, okay, maybe they'll let us know 6 months out in advance or something, but they did. Everyone just never said anything and just kept us all in the dark, and then we got a notice in the mail that said 45 days, gotta be out.
Bailey says he understands why community leaders want to bring in developments like the one planned, but believes they should be considerate of the residents who haven't found a place to go yet.
The Rowan County Board of Education heard an update on the Clearfield renovation and addition project at their regular meeting on Tuesday. A representative from Ross Tarrant Architects updated the board on the plans for the $7.9 million project, which includes $5.9 million in construction costs. The school, which was originally built in 1953, will undergo extensive upgrades throughout the building. A planned addition will include a 6,900-square-foot gym and expand the cafeteria, kitchen, and media center. Several new classrooms for gym, FMD, art, and music classes will also be added, along with security entry vestibule located in upgrades of the administration suite. Architect Peter Fisher says the gym upgrade will provide space for more than just athletics.
The bleacher seating will be able to accommodate the entire school population. It's my understanding that's the first time in Clearfield history that they're going to be able to do that. They're going to have a congregation of the entire school and seat them all in this facility, which is great.
The project is still in design with bids for construction expected to be let sometime in July. The project is expected to take 2 years to complete. Students will be relocated to other facilities during the construction.
The Round County school system is currently accepting kindergarten enrollment for the 2021-2022 school year. WMKY's Megan Jones has the story.
Any child who will be 5 years old by August 1st is eligible to enroll for kindergarten. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, parents must call to schedule an appointment to register. Parents are advised to bring their child's birth certificate, social security card, up-to-date physical, up-to-date immunization certificate, vision exam, and dental exam paperwork for their appointment. Parents are encouraged to still register their child if they do not have all of these forms. For more information and to set up an appointment, call 606-784-8928. For WMKY News, I'm Megan Jones.
As the Kentucky Department of Education prepares for the fall semester, it held a meeting with the Student Advisory Council Tuesday morning. Students shared their experiences during the pandemic and looked ahead to the next school year. KDE Commissioner Jason Glass tells LEX18 he hopes the variety of different schooling methods continues.
And what we hope continues forward are really a variety of different schooling models for students that include in-person options, virtual options, and all sorts of hybrid options.
Glass said although stressful, the pandemic has moved Kentucky education forward. The council also discussed the supplemental school year program. Students have to decide by May 1st if they would like to participate.
The University of Kentucky is not planning on requiring COVID-19 vaccinations for students in the fall. School officials say they're pleased with the progress on vaccinations so far. With more colleges and universities across the country instituting or eyeing vaccination mandates for incoming students, UK spokesperson Jay Blanton says Kentucky's largest university isn't planning on going that route for the time being.
That's not where we are at this time. We're going to continue to monitor. As you know, as we've been throughout this process, we have always shown a willingness to pivot, do what we need to do to keep people healthy and safe. That's our top priority. That's going to remain our top priority.
Blanton says nearly 93% of the school's frontline health workers are vaccinated. 80% of faculty and 70% of staff have received at least one shot, and between 55 and 60% of students are at least in the process of being vaccinated. The goal when students return is to have a campus that more closely resembles fall 2019 than fall 2020.
Two families are left mourning after shootings took place in Lexington on Sunday. One of the victims, 28-year-old Devontae Bell, was shot on Pennebaker Drive and taken to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where he later died. Police identified 37-year-old Carl Munford as a suspect. Bell's mother, Teresa Lacefield, is left mourning without her son. She tells LEX 18 there needs to be an end to the violence.
Put the guns down. I don't see how anybody can hate somebody so much just to take a life.
3 hours after Bell's death, 17-year-old Hayden Nash was shot and killed in the city at the East Ridge Apartments. A 14-year-old suspect was identified in his shooting.
A video of a protester being arrested on Sunday shows a Louisville Metro Police officer punching him multiple times. Dee Garrett was taken to the ground by six officers and punched by one officer in the head repeatedly. The officer who punched Garrett is now the subject of an internal investigation. Garrett tells LAX 18 the officers told him he was being arrested for standing in the street near Jefferson Square Park, and he complied.
I said, okay, I put my hands behind my back. And I'm a bigger guy, so like it's hard for me to get. I'm not flexible at all. That's when they start getting physical.
Louisville protests have been continuing since Breonna Taylor's death last March. Garrett said his arrest will renew his efforts to call for change in policing.
An LMPD officer was arrested after allegedly breaking into a victim's home with a gun and holding her hostage for 3 hours. WMKY's Levi Bryan has the story.
The Louisville Metro Police Department officer, 25-year-old Robert Jones, is charged with unlawful imprisonment, wanton endangerment, assault on the fourth, and burglary. According to an arrest warrant, Jones broke into the victim's house and an argument began, ensued by a violent struggle resulting in the victim's injury. Documents state Jones led the victim to a back room in a basement where he would not let her leave for 3 hours. LMPD Chief Erica Shields tells Wave 3, acts of domestic violence by employees are not tolerable at any level. Police confirm Jones has been administratively reassigned. For WMKY News, I'm Levi Bryan.
The Louisville police officer who fired at Breonna Taylor after being shot during the deadly raid on Taylor's apartment is writing a book, but a publishing giant is declining to distribute it. Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly and another officer fired shots that hit Taylor during the March 2020 narcotics raid that yielded no drugs. Mattingly was shot in the leg by Taylor's boyfriend. According to the Associated Press, Mattingly's book will be published by Tennessee-based Post Hill Press. Simon & Schuster has an agreement with Post Hill, but says it will not distribute this book. News on Mattingly's book drew online criticism last week. Post Hill has said Mattingly deserves to be able to tell his account publicly. Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Thursday, expect areas of frost before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 51. On Thursday night, patchy frost after 3 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 32. On Friday, patchy frost before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 61. On Friday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 44. And on Saturday, expect showers mainly after 10 a.m. with a high near 59.
On our feature segment today, local community leaders and business owners met on a Zoom call to introduce methods and strategies for establishing and supporting entrepreneurial communities. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has more.
Local leaders and business owners connected to encourage members of the community to start a new business. The meeting was conducted by Bobby Clark and Bill Shutters with Sustainable Business Ventures. Clark is the president of the organizations and says he started the business to help people create their own jobs or grow their businesses.
Our mission is to help difficult to employ individuals create their own job through self-employment. And I have been a publisher, I've been a variety of things, I've run a couple of nonprofits over the years, and I'm really happy to be doing things that can help other people pursue entrepreneurship and start new businesses or grow businesses.
Clark wants to reach out to the younger adults in the surrounding area to help start a job opportunity after high school or college graduation.
Definitely reach out to the young folks in your community, both in high school and college. You've got Maysville Community College, Morehead State University. There's a lot of folks. I read an article recently that 70% of high school students think or have said they want to start a business when they get out of high school. So we want to harness that as well.
CFO and executive coach Bill Shutters says the organization hosts a boot camp in February focused on funding options.
And the reason we built this boot camp and focus on it is when you're in a group of entrepreneurs and a conversation has been started, if you want to capture the attention of entrepreneurs, all you have to do is start talking about funding. You know, where you got money from, where there might be money, how to get money. Because every business, even if it's just a part-time hobby business, has got to have capital of some sort.
Shutter says their Ice House program is based off the book Who Owns the Ice House, which describes the 8 life lessons from an unlikely entrepreneur.
So the Ice House program it introduces 3 things. One, it introduces the 8 life lessons, which, you know, are important, useful information to anyone and everyone. It also introduces the Ice House entrepreneurs, but they all became multimillionaire, successful entrepreneurs. And so those people are introduced as part of the program, very fun. But the third thing is the Opportunity Discovery Canvas.
Clark hopes that members in the community get started with building their own business. For more information, contact sbventures.org. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
It's 43 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this chilly Wednesday afternoon.
The Eagles are back in the sand this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State Beach Volleyball team is on a 5-game winning streak in their first week of a very short season. The Eagles closed out NCAA Championship indoor volleyball play last Thursday and took to the sand for their first beach game on Saturday. They beat Eastern Kentucky University in the team's first 5-game sweep of the season last night. Head coach Kirsten Becker says most of the team plays in the sand as well as inside.
The mental toughness of this team and our indoor players crossing over is, like, astounding. I mean, I'm not surprised by it because we're with them every day, but that transition from such a high in Omaha and to literally turn around and 24 hours later start to go at it in the sand is not easy, and I didn't hear a single complaint, and they went at it with everything that they had.
The Eagles are back on the sand this afternoon in Richmond for a doubleheader with EKU. We'll have scores from today's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Morehead State baseball team fell at Eastern Kentucky University yesterday, 13-4. The loss moves the Eagles to 18-14 on the season. Head coach Mick Aoki says he was surprised by the loss.
I think primarily defensively we played poorly and contributed in a pretty significant way to our own demise. It was sort of a different poorly on the very first weekend against UNCC. Had kind of a different feel to it. But outside of that, it was far and away the worst we played all year. But I think it's just a one game blip. It's our fifth game in 5 days, and just kind of a not great.
The Eagles hit the road for conference play at Jacksonville State this weekend. A 3-game series with the Gamecocks begins Friday at 7 p.m. The Morehead State softball team's midweek doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University this afternoon has been postponed. The two teams were set to face off at University Field starting at 1 p.m. today, but the games have been moved to Wednesday, May 5th. The Eagles will have a couple of days on the practice field before hosting a series with Jacksonville State this weekend. A doubleheader with the Gamecocks begins at noon on Saturday. Morehead State football senior linebacker Vincent Winey has been named Pioneer Football League Defensive Player of the Week. Winey was a standout in Saturday's matchup against Butler, setting Morehead State's single-game tackle record with a career-high 23 stops. Included in his program record were 3 tackles for loss and a fumble recovery. Head coach Rob Tenier says he was a crucial element to the team's winning season and their victory over the Bulldogs.
He's been playing outstanding football, really good fit in our defense. I mean, he's the leader. He makes all of our calls. And just had one of those days. You know, it's kind of like a guy that's shoots 10 three-pointers and you make 10 of them. He had a great day, great statistical day. And, you know, he beat Coach Bennett's record. Coach Bennett now is on our coaching staff.
Winey concluded the 2021 campaign ranked 2nd in the league with 84 total stops and 12 stops per game average. Rowan County Senior High School baseball team is still in between games. The Vikings were supposed to play Bath County Monday and Tuesday, but those games were canceled per COVID-19 policy. The team is still getting practice in, though, and head coach Scott Collins says it means fewer games missed without starting catcher Jacob Plank, who is recovering from a thumb injury.
Plank is still out. You know, he's going back and forth to the doctor every week and, you know, keeps pushing him back a little bit further. But so he's really the only one we've got out at this time. Everybody else is healthy, and hopefully we can keep that going and Plank is still out. You know, he's going back and forth to the doctor every week and, you know, keeps pushing him back a little bit further. But so he's really the only one we've got out at this time. Everybody else is healthy, and hopefully we can keep that going and get Jacob back, you know, sooner than later. But, you know, it's something we don't want to push through either. We want to make sure he's healed up.
Rowan will take on Ashland Blazer tomorrow evening at home. First pitch is set for 6 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Grand, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose to recover from two straight days of losses as investors piled into shares most sensitive to the economic recovery. And the Dow Industrials did gain 316.01 at 34,137.31. The S&P 500 was up 38.48 at 4173.42. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 163.95 to finish at 13,950.22. Shares of Norwegian Cruise Lines led a pop in reopening plays after the stock was upgraded. Norwegian jumped more than 10%, while Carnival and Royal Caribbean rose 6.3% and 4.4% respectively. United Airlines rebounded 3% after plunging 8.5% yesterday as the carrier reported its fifth consecutive quarterly loss and said that business and international travel is still far from a recovery. Netflix shares plunged over 7% after the streaming giant reported subscriber additions that fell far short of Wall Street estimates as the demand surge from the pandemic started to fade. The company also said it expects to add about 1 million subscribers in the current quarter, well below estimates. More than 70 S&P 500 companies have reported so far, and they posted a 23% upside to analyst earnings expectations on average, which obviously is indicative of very good economic growth in the first quarter. And the CBOE Volatility Index, also known as the VIX, or the market's fear gauge, had risen for two consecutive days, landing above 18 yesterday after hitting a 14-month low last week, and the VIX did fall back to 17 today. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.6% to finish at $61.04 a barrel. Gold was up 1% at $1,795.10 an ounce. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up $1.55 at $14.16, CSX up $4.24 at $102.69, AEP down 79 cents at $89.35, Marathon Petroleum up $1.26 at $53.31. U.S. Bancorp 77 cents at $56.99, and Anthem was up $2.96 to finish at $384.84. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Megan Jones, Carla Haight, Levi Bryan, Rachel Turner, Sarah Mead, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Lakin Hub. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All things considered, it's coming up next. It's 5:30.